Hi, everyone. This is Richard Rupp, and thank you again for listening to another episode of the Rupp Report podcast, where we break down the news of the day and what's happening in Ottawa, federally and provincially here in Canada. Information that really is important for Canadians and for our future, because so much is happening right now in Ottawa. I'm lucky enough to have my producer, Mike, again with me. And Mike is going to be here to ask the kind of questions that everyday Canadians have about what's going on in our government right now. Mike.
How's it going, buddy?
It's going great. Thank you.
Oh, you're a busy guy these days, I'm sure, with everything going on, election-wise, at the provincial level, at the federal level. Candidates are being announced all over the place. How are you feeling overall right now with the state of politics in Canada?
So it definitely is insane, and I think there's a lot that we can talk about today. Just today, Ford announced that he is dissolving the legislature in the province of Ontario and going to call for a provincial election almost a year and a half ahead of schedule. It's going to be less than a month. It's going to be on February 27th, and then we have a lot going on federally, even though our parliament has been prorogued, but there's so much going on with the liberal leadership race, and even an announcement from Jagmeet Singh today, which I would like to touch on later on in the show, which I think has a really big importance. And I think most Canadians don't understand the importance. They think we're heading into an immediate election, and Jagmeet just might put the kibosh on that.
It's pretty interesting. And I would love to touch on that as well. Because it's interesting to me that there seemed to be an alliance that is so false that it just makes the NDP look foolish at this point, and it makes the Liberals look foolish for dealing with them as well. What do you think about this extension reset that Doug Ford has put into place? It seems, I don't know, we're a year and a half away from what should have been a legitimate election. Of course, you know, he's riding the Polyev wave and the news of the tariffs. But what is your genuine feeling about this?
So I think there's pros and cons that I could discuss. I mean, the pros are it's a smart move on Doug Ford's side, because right now the Liberals are weak, the NDP are weak. Nobody really knows Merit Stiles, the leader of the NDP. She really has never gained any relevance or any attraction to the general... Exactly. Right? Oh. Nobody knows that. She's trying to introduce herself. So nobody really knows who she is. And then Bonnie Crombie, who's more well-known in the GTA area, okay, the Toronto area, because she was a former mayor of Mississauga. People know who Bonnie Crombie is. She's the leader of the Liberals. Doug Ford is capitalizing on attacking now before she's able to get her name out there and really build some momentum, and also build a bank account for the Liberal Party, because they really don't have much of a bank account to run an election. So he's taking advantage of his prey while they're weak, and I understand where he's coming from. Now, the con side is, pardon the pun, the con side is...
I didn't say it, you did.
I just slipped it in there, and as it's coming out of my mouth, I realize, you know, here we go.
Right. Pardon the pun. If you want dad joke puns, you come to the right podcast.
Well, I'm a dad, so there you go. So if you're looking for the negative side of it, look, he didn't have to call an election before June of 2026, next year. And he's calling it now in February of 25. There's no need for it. To say that he needs a strong mandate in order to negotiate with Trump and the tariffs kind of doesn't really make sense, because he already has a majority, so he already has a mandate. So what kind of strong mandate does he need? I mean, the only argument is, okay, it coincides with Trump's 4 years in office. I don't really think that that's necessarily an argument. It's going to cost tens of millions of dollars of taxpayer money to run this early election. But he's taking advantage of weakness on the other side. And by all accounts, he's going to win a majority. And I saw a poll today where he could actually even gain seats, and the Liberals and the NDP could lose seats. So do I blame him for it? Strategically, no. Is it necessary? No, it's not. So, you know, that's what you get.
I don't think there's going to be a single province that doesn't go conservative based on the federal problems that we've had.
Sure.
And also how ridiculous everybody feels about their last vote, not having the provinces having no effect on federal government at all.
Right.
Over the last 8 years.
Right. And I think you're bringing up an interesting point that I should also add. Doug Ford probably feels it's an opportune time to run while the Liberals are still in power federally in Ottawa, because if there's a federal election coming and Pierre Poilievre becomes a prime minister, then if anything goes sour federally with the Conservatives, then it could have a drawdown effect on Doug Ford provincially. And honestly, I think there's still that wave of thought in Ontario, and those who are from outside of Ontario may not know this, but for generations, there's always been this feeling like if there are Liberals federally in Ottawa, then the Conservatives are in power in Ontario.
In the province,
yeah. But if there's the federal Conservatives, then usually Ontario flips and becomes Liberal. I don't think that would be the case under Bonnie Crombie but it's possible.
It's not possible.
I don't think so.
I think Bonnie Crombie doesn't have enough cachet
right
at the moment. Is riding on the bad news that the Liberals have constantly delivered, even recently.
Well, do you notice she's even going against the Liberal policy? She's trying to change her tune and say, "I'm against the carbon tax. I'm against Trudeau Liberals." Which is nonsense, because she's been in the pocket with Justin Trudeau from day one. So to say that is absolutely false.
No, she's using the Freeland approach.
Absolutely.
To disassociation.
Well, they're all of a sudden not Liberals anymore. They're all turning their backs on stuff that they voted for. If we're talking federally, look, Freeland and Chandra Arya, who unfortunately got kicked out, and all the other ones, that they all voted for Trudeau's kind of stuff. And even if it's Mark Carney, who didn't have a seat and didn't vote, but he's doubled down on all the Liberal policies, the climate tax and carbon credits and central bank digital currency and all the crazy, WEF policies that you can imagine.
It does seem that Carney looks like the candidate that is just dealing at a level that Canadians can't understand.
Totally.
If you take a look at his credentials up against Pierre Poilievre, have you ever seen this? Yeah, Pierre Poilievre has three credits to his name.
Right.
His university degree, his job, and his elected post.
Right.
Take a look at Mark Carney's record of service in the industries that he's been in. And he does look like a super genius, I have to be honest with you.
Oh, he's no question a smart man. But, you don't just stumble upon being the central bank Bank of Canada governor, the Bank of England governor, unless some higher ups in central bankers, globally approve of who you are. And this is why I always told the Conservative Party and I told Conservative candidates, I said, Mark Carney is the chosen one. Mark Carney will be the next leader of the Liberal Party. And people would always argue, no, Trudeau has such an ego. Trudeau is never going to step down. But we knew that they were going to pull, or at least I knew that they were going to pull a Kamala on the Liberal Party, because Trudeau had burnt his name so badly.
Yeah.
So what are they going to do? They're going to try to get a new leader. All the people that are behind Trudeau that are currently and were behind Trudeau, the Jerry Butts, the Katie Telford, etc., all of them are behind the Mark Carney train. And they're putting, in my opinion, Chrystia Freeland there as just a buffer to kind of show that there's a real horse race. And now there's six people that are approved.
I saw that they've approved, yeah.
So they're trying to show that it's a real horse race. They don't want to show that it's a coronation for Mark Carney. But all the important players in the Liberal Party are behind Mark Carney. And my prediction, I should say, is that he will probably be the winner. And I think it's absolutely the worst for Canada to have him as the leader of the Liberals. I mean, he's basically going to be Justin Trudeau's woke policies on steroids.
Yeah, because he likes to move. He's a fast actor when it comes to corporate scenarios.
Sure.
When he was even at the banking level that he was at, he made moves that changed the way country, the UK did not benefit from their time.
So, yeah, this is what they're saying. Absolutely. And he's also taking credit for the 2008 financial crisis in Canada, which is absolute nonsense. That was really, first of all, it was really because Canada has very strong banking rules that predate him from a long time.
Right.
Plus, it was Harper and Flaherty as our finance minister. But really, it's because compared to America, where they have much more decentralized banks and local banks, we don't have that in Canada. We have really strict banking policies, and you can't just enter the Canadian market and become a national bank or even a local or regional bank. Our banking policies are much stricter, and that's why we weathered the storm. Plus, you know, in America, they were giving at the time, if you recall, 125% mortgages.
It was incredible. And by the way, we got close to it here in Canada.
Well, a little bit.
And then the banks stepped in.
A little bit. But we were always more regulated when it comes time to borrowing on mortgages. Canada's far stricter when it comes to banking. Now, that there's a cost to that. There's an opportunity cost to that because that harms businesses. Americans are more willing to get their, they have so many different banking options that they have banks that are local banks that are willing to gamble on small business and help small business grow. In Canada, small business really has a very tough time to get financing.
Well, look at our stress test for personal lending.
There you go.
It's incredible. Most people doing very well will not pass that stress test.
Correct.
So I wonder if that will change with on the provincial level and certainly at the banking level federally, depending on who gets in. Mark Carney is not going to change that.
Well, Mark Carney is not in any way favorable to the small business, small medium business person. He really is looking towards the globalist multinational corporations and helping them because ultimately that's what they want to do. They want to do the liberals, the Democrats in the States. They want to do a private public partnership where government writes the regulations that benefit multinational corporations, which would squeeze out the little guy. Right. And conservatives are totally opposite that. Conservatives want to help the little guy and want to help. We believe that all boats rise. When we lift all boats, you know, it benefits everybody. Yeah. Jobs get created, etc.
I hope the tide rises because of this. But now we're faced with these tariffs and, you know, you've got I guess Ontario spokesperson Doug Ford. Now, I hate to come off like I'm not a Doug Ford fan because, well, I'm not. But the truth is he is going to be the mouthpiece of this. And I think that he's like overstating it a little bit myself. What are your thoughts on that?
Overstating in what way?
That he is going to be the person that deals with Trump on this. Meanwhile, Chrystia Freeland, she's put a hit list together herself. And Poilievre says that he's got a plan to deal with it. What do you think will come of this?
Well, look, if Liberal members that have signed up, which it's free to sign up, and they vote for Chrystia Freeland, that will give her a chance. But the odds right now are that it won't be Chrystia Freeland. Whatever her point of view is, she won't be the future leader.
That's fair.
So that's one aspect. The second aspect is...
What do you think of Ford being the mouthpiece for this?
Well, can you blame him? He controls the largest economy in Canada. Ontario is the largest economy. Ontario is really one of the key... aside from Alberta oil, it's really one of the key economies that trade with the United States. And so... for him being a mouthpiece, you kind of can't blame him. He has to be.
I do not blame
because
him.
They were saying Ontario is the fourth largest trading partner with the United States. I mean, just take Ontario separate from Canada. Ontario is like one of the largest trading partners, just Ontario alone.
Yeah.
Especially with all the, so many of the northern states.
Why isn't he doing what Danielle Steele's Danielle
Smith.
Smith is doing. Danielle Steele is a very nice author, but not
right.
Premier.
Well, we're showing our age now talking about Danielle Steele. Okay, but this is not a romance. So this is not a romance novel.
Premier Smith, I am sorry.
But Danielle Steele, this is not a romance novel review podcast. If you have actually logged on to this thinking that we are reviewing Danielle Steele novels, I would ask you to go back to Spotify or whichever
podcast. Search again.
Search again. You've hit the wrong channel.
However, if we get enough emails from you saying to cover this, we certainly will make the effort.
In the next episode, maybe I'll read up some Daniel Steele books and get ready. Okay, but back to Daniel Smith. So look,
well, she's buddied up with Trump. Don't you think it'd be a better scenario if we did the same thing here in Ontario?
See, I'm not so critical of her as the way she has. I won't say she buddied up with Trump. I would say she was concerned that she didn't want tariffs on Alberta oil and natural gas. And look, Alberta oil and natural gas has been so vilified by Trudeau and Carney and Freeland, all of them in particular, for the last 10 years.
It's destroyed a province.
They have destroyed that province. They've also destroyed, remember, they've also destroyed Newfoundland because Newfoundland had offshore.
All of that offshore. There's communities.
Liquid gold, right?
Entire communities have been abandoned.
It's very sad. And, you know, the Atlantic provinces have really suffered for generations. And all of a sudden, they find oil. And God bless them. I'm really happy for them. And then Trudeau comes in and makes it so impossible. But Alberta, you know, when you're in Toronto, the thrust of our business is really talking about the finance sector or the real estate sector, right? Mm-hmm. When you go to Alberta, everyone's talking about oil and natural gas.
Right.
And then Trudeau comes in and kills it. And the environment minister, Guilbeault, comes in and kills it. Well, he's a Greenpeace guy. What do you expect? But so we have a real issue, and I don't blame Danielle Smith. She needs to get a conservative government federally to reopen up the oil and natural gas fields in Alberta, because that's one of our biggest economies, right? That helps our economy. That creates jobs.
Well, it actually supports the country historically.
Absolutely, because look, the Alberta gives transfer payments that benefit Quebec. Right. But Quebec is always insulting Alberta and wanting to leave Canada, wanting to leave Confederation. But the reality is it's Alberta who's always been giving transfer payments to provinces like have not provinces like Quebec. And Alberta's great. They don't have a provincial sales tax. I mean, it's a great province. It's a well-run province.
It really is. And like I say, it's been devastated. But her approach has been, okay, let's get in there and be partners as close as we can.
To our
largest trading partner.
Which makes sense.
Everybody else seems to want to threaten this guy over these. Like, calm down, everybody. It's a negotiation tactic.
And that's what it is. And the news media has scared people about these tariffs. And Trump said he was going to do it on the first day. And I said, he's not going to do it on the first day. Don't be scared. Then he says February 1st. Okay, February 1st is coming down the pipeline. It's in a few more days. Granted. But, you know, Trump is a negotiator. Trump is a businessman. He's trying to negotiate the best possible deal in his America First policy. And I would like to see a government, eventually we will have Pierre Poilievre, come in as a Canada First policies. And that's what we need. And I've been arguing it since Trump's first term. And I would get attacked by liberals saying, oh, you can't do it. You can't be Canada First. No, if you're the Prime Minister of Canada, you should be focusing on making Canada the greatest country, focusing on Canada First and making life better for the average Canadian. So I don't blame Donald Trump. That's a smart policy, what he's doing. And he's doing right by the American people.
Listen, I wanted to ask you something, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I guess we had an official probe recently, right, that concluded that foreign states like China and India have been interfering with our democratic process. And here we are with a provincial election and a federal election. What do you think will be done to protect us this time?
So this is the big problem. So the chairperson of that committee, Justice Hogue, and I might be mispronouncing her French-Canadian name, just released the final report. And parts of it have actually been redacted, and will be locked up for 99 years. And she's going around saying that there's no traitors in Parliament, which I have a hard time believing.
I have a hard time believing that.
I have a hard time believing
that. Based on who's been elected.
100%. Yeah. And based on the evidence that we had with nominations that were run by Communist China, et cetera, you know, there's a lot of evidence that have come out, but some evidence has been blocked, has been redacted, and will be locked up from the Canadian people for 99 years that we won't be able to see it. So that gives me no confidence right there. yes, is there foreign interference? Sure, we can see there's been evidence that there's been foreign interference from multiple foreign actors. And the funny thing is they want to accuse, like the NDP want to accuse Elon Musk as foreign interference for the Canadian election. But when Hillary Clinton goes or Obama goes and says that Trudeau should be elected, that's not foreign interference. Like, that's okay.
That's fine. That was said outright.
You know? So, exactly. And I can see Mike rolling his eyes right now, ladies and gentlemen.
It should have been. It's criminal, actually.
If it's treasonous, then yes, it is criminal. Right? If it's treasonous, it really is criminal. If you are pledging allegiance, your loyalty to a foreign government equal to, let's not even say over and above, but equal to your allegiance to Canadians, then there's a big problem.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I don't see any measure has been taken at all to protect us.
There haven't been. She's made a number of suggestions, really frivolous suggestions, stating that, for example, all the party leaders should have security clearance, which, ladies and gentlemen, all the party leaders already have security clearance.
Well, except for Poilievre, but he's working on it.
Hold on. See, that's another lie. That's a big lie that we need to inform the public. As an MP and as the leader of the Conservative Party and the leader of the King's official opposition, His Majesty's official opposition, he already got security clearance. Yeah. We have to clarify it. What happened here is that Trudeau said, in order to see the file, we will give you clearance to see the inside of the file. However, you have to remain silent about it for the rest of your life. So, for example, if there were traitors in the Conservative caucus and that file showed it, and Pierre Poilievre agreed to Trudeau's terms, which I don't understand why we'd have to agree to Trudeau's terms, okay?
How does he interpret the law?
Why should it be Trudeau's terms? It doesn't make any sense.
That's a great point.
So Pierre would have to remain silent if there was a traitor in his own caucus. But clearly, we can see that the traitors were there was one apparently potentially in Trudeau's caucus and he kicked him out because the nomination of one of the candidates who will remain unnamed, they showed that they were busing in foreign visa students and the consulate of China was giving them fake papers, false ID. They're not supposed to even be on the list of members of the Federal Liberal Party, because the rule is you're either 14 years of age or older, and this is across the board, and a Canadian citizen or a permanent resident. Foreign visa students are not allowed.
I didn't think you could be a permanent resident either.
You could be a permanent resident to vote in a nomination to be a member of a political party, vote in a nomination, vote in an AGM, vote in a leadership, but not be able to vote in, and it's 14 or above, not 18. Right. So you can be involved in political parties. Conservative Party is the same way. It's 14 or older. Canadian citizen or permanent resident. You can be a member of that party, and you're equally able to vote in nomination races, leadership races, annual general meetings, to sit on a board for a riding association, what's called an EDA. Mm-hmm. You can be a permanent resident, 14 years of age or older. You can't vote in a general election. Now, here's the crazy thing. You don't need to show any ID when it comes time to voting. And people don't understand this. And people have argued with me about this. And I said, go check with Elections Canada. Trudeau, Harper.
If you're on the list.
Even if you're not on the list. Even if you're not on the list and you show up at the polling station during advance voting or during election day, and you don't have any ID, one way you could do it is you could bring your – Trudeau changed the rules from Harper. Harper tightened it up. Trudeau, the moment he came in 2015, he changed the rules. You could bring in your neighbor.
Well, sure, he was letting 2 million people in the country who wouldn't have paperwork.
Yearly, every year. Yeah. You could bring in your neighbor. Now, this is really important. I think that people need to understand how the rules are. You could bring your neighbor to do what's called vouching. So say, for example, Mike, I walk in with you. You're on the voters list.
Yeah, but this needs to change.
Okay. Man. You have ID, and I come in and you say, I know Richard. He lives two doors down from me. I know him. Like, he lives in the basement, for example. He lives in the basement. He's a tenant in the basement, and I know him. I've known him for a year. And so I can then vote. You will vouch for me. and they will give me a ballot, and they have no right to ask me what's my citizenship, how long I've been living there. They have no right to ask for ID, etc. Now, I could literally walk in, and you can check. If anybody doesn't believe me, you call Elections Canada, and you verify this. I could walk in without anyone vouching for me and say, hi, I'm a new Canadian, for example, I'm a new Canadian citizen. I have no ID, no driver's license, no passport, no health card, no nothing. My name is Justin Trudeau, and I live at so-and-so address, and I'd like to vote. All they have to do at the polling station is give you a pre-formatted form, which is an affidavit. Mm-hmm. You swear an affidavit. A person who takes oaths will sign it. And you swear on your own. I mean, it's a criminal act. If you get caught, you can get in trouble.
Who's checking this?
Thank you. Who's checking it? And you could just go, and you could literally go from polling station to polling station to polling station with a different name. And no one's taking your picture. No one's looking at your ID. And you could vote multiple times illegally, but you could vote multiple times for the same person at every single polling station.
I see what you're saying. You and I could get out there and vote at every polling station.
I'm not suggesting that. I would definitely not suggest that. Now, let's talk about Jagmeet Singh, yeah, for example. Well,
that was meant to be our a transition there.
This is for the people who said that we need a little bit more humor on the show. And by the way, I really want to thank the thousands of people who are listening to this podcast every week.
Doesn't it blow your mind?
I'm just shocked. There's such an appetite. Because, you know, you think Canada versus the United States, it's a much smaller audience. Thousands of people are listening to our podcast. I'm really grateful. I'm really thankful.
And many people on the other side of the border as well. I mean,
some Americans that are interested in what's going on with Canada. Well, the problem is also in America, I'm listening to American news all the time, and they're always saying, oh, Trump made Trudeau step down. Well, ladies and gentlemen, just in case anyone doesn't understand, the Prime Minister of Canada, till at least March 9th, when the new Liberal leader is announced, is still Justin Trudeau. He's only stepped down. This is a fallacy. He's only stepped down as the leader of the Liberal Party on paper, essentially. He is still the Prime Minister of our country.
And he's never even officiated that paperwork. He's only announced it.
He's only announced it that he stepped down as the Liberal leader. They've announced their leadership campaign, but he's still the Prime Minister. So the American media and some Canadians are mistakenly misled, believing that he's stepped down. He has not stepped down. He is still officially the Prime Minister of Canada.
Which means there could still be a non-confidence vote.
Well, okay, so this is the thing. So Jagmeet Singh announced today, this is what I want to talk about Jagmeet Singh, which, you know, before I say whether I trust a person or not, let's just say, let's see what the future holds. So we're expecting March 9, the new Liberal leader will be announced, and whether that person has a seat or not, they can go to the Governor General, say, I'm the new leader of the Liberal Party, the minority government, you're going to swear me in as Prime Minister, and the Governor General, of course, will do that. And if it's Mark Carney, he doesn't have a seat, so he can't sit in Parliament. He can't vote in Parliament, but he is officially the Prime Minister of Canada.
It's actually way better to be that, isn't it?
Well, you avoid all the, I don't know.
If I was Prime Minister, I would pray that I didn't have a seat. I would actually, you know what I would do? I would use that for Facebook time. No, I would probably go to the shooting range during question period.
Well, probably because he would have all the guns that he confiscates from law-abiding Canadians.
Oh, I see what you did.
There you go. Right. See? So the idea is that, back to the story, the idea is that on March 24th, Parliament resumes. And remember, when you prorogue Parliament, everything falls to zero. It's a total reset.
Yeah.
Okay? It's the great reset.
It's the great reset.
It's the great reset in Canadian terms.
We predicted it.
There you go. So it's the reset, and what you have to start off with is with a throne speech. And my prediction, as I've said all along, is that the Liberals are going to give this incredible throne speech. They're going to offer you everything except for the kitchen sink, and this is going to really be their election platform. That was originally my concept, all right? And I still believe that that's going to be the case. And then the throne speech is in and of itself a confidence motion. And so once a throne speech is given, there has to be a vote on the throne speech. And Jagmeet Singh is saying that he doesn't have confidence in the Trudeau Liberals, and so he is not going to vote in the next opportunity for a non-confidence vote. He's going to vote non-confidence with the government, which, along with the Conservatives and the Bloc Québécois, will make have enough votes to fall, to drop the
government.
The government will drop, the government will fall. Okay. Now Jagmeet announces today, I don't know if people saw this in the news, probably it's a little bit hush-hush because no one wants to really face the facts of what's going to happen. But the CBC reported that Jagmeet is now saying that in order to battle the Trump tariffs, he is willing to vote with the government in order to provide benefits to workers to offset the costs of the Trump tariffs if they're enforced. So what does this mean, ladies and gentlemen? This means that he would have to first vote for, in confidence with the government, for the throne speech and prop the government up. And then if the government introduces bills, which they could introduce a month from now, 2 months from now, 6 months from now, introduce bills to help the average worker or whatever the case may be, Jagmeet will say, no, I'm going to stay around and vote with the government. Mm-hmm. So he could basically go back on his word. Or another thing that he could very easily do is Mark Carney or Christopher Freeland becomes the leader. He could then kind of play word salad and say, okay, I originally was going to vote non-confidence against Trudeau because I lost confidence in the Trudeau Liberals. But now I've spoken to Mark Carney, or I've spoken to Christopher Freeland, and I have confidence in their plan. And so therefore, I am willing to give them one more chance and I will vote to prop up the government, which means we're all expecting an election on March, you know, by March 24th, 25th, 26th, an election call, which will probably go into April or May when the actual election day takes place. Real election day, right? But if Jagmeet Singh goes back on his word and doesn't vote non-confidence, there's not enough votes. There's going to be too many votes for the Liberals, between the Liberals and the NDP, to keep them in power. And then all of a sudden, we're not going to have an election till October. And even though there's a set election date and Harper made the act, it doesn't mean anything because the Constitution of Canada supersedes any act. And the Constitution allows that government, for sake of emergency, for sake of any, could prorogue Parliament even further past the October date. Worst case scenario, we may not even have an election till 2026. So here you got Doug Ford, in one sense, wanting an early election almost a year and a half in advance. And here we have Machiavellian moves, particularly by Jagmeet Singh, possibly, it may not happen this way, but potentially, that could postpone an election way past March, April, May.
Is he pushing Polyev? Is that what he's doing?
I don't know if he's pushing.
We're going to pick a side.
I don't think he's pushing Polyev. I think the case is that he knows that he's not going to get a better deal with Polyev than he would be with the Liberals, right? And the Liberals have basically, look, since Trudeau took office, since he became the Prime Minister 10 years ago, the Liberals have gone further to the left, right, than even the old Ed Broadbent NDP or, you know, then the old NDP, they've gone way further to the left than ever before. This is not the Liberal Party of Jean Chrétien or Paul Martin. This is a very different Liberal Party. So, and they're very woke. They're very radically left wing. I mean, they're basically socialist in what they are, which the NDP used to, that used to be their purview.
Yeah, I think that the NDP is just a little pissed off that somebody took their gig. You know what I mean?
Like, well, yeah, sure. Who needs the NDP when you can vote for the Liberals because you get exactly the same thing? So,
and how maybe even a little more. If you want NDP on steroids, it's the Liberal Party right now.
Well, sure. You know, if you want to identify for X number of genders and woke policies and all those kind of things, go Liberal, because
I don't understand why Jagmeet is doing this. It doesn't really. It looks so bad on the NDP to do this.
I think he will shoot himself in the foot politically if he does do it, but I don't put it past him that he would do it just to keep the Liberals in power a little bit longer. I hope I'm wrong.
I really hope he's going to leave the NDP. I mean,
well, I think what's going to happen is if the next election comes and he starts losing seats, the knives are going to be out for Jagmeet Singh to get him out.
I think already in that party there is. And I think he's accepted it. Maybe I'm wrong. I've heard scuttlebutt that he's already accepted that he will not be the party leader
after the next, election. I agree with you on that because I think he's shot himself in the foot. I mean, that's, you know, that's the end of it.
Listen, before we shoot ourselves in the foot, why don't we tell people to share this podcast with a friend and subscribe?
Please, I'd appreciate that. Definitely, if you find this informative, and I thank you for many of the messages that I've gotten back where people have really found this educational and informative about Canadian politics and about the Constitution, about proroguing and how these things work, because the media, the mainstream media does not explain it to people. I would ask that you share the link from whatever platform you're listening to this podcast with your friends and let them listen to it. If you find it informative, if you like our content, if you like our banter back and forth, please subscribe. Make sure you're well aware and get updated whenever there's a new episode and ask your friends to subscribe as well. And that way we can continue giving this kind of information to all Canadians to really inform them about what's going on in Ottawa, which you're not going to find. You're going to find this from the inside and you're not going to find this in the mainstream media.
I mean, for example, finding out that Trudeau has managed to get the NDP working with his party to keep them in power potentially into 2026 was a very interesting topic. Thank you so much for clearing that up.
You're that's welcome, Mike. I hope that's I don't want to say it's a prediction. I say it's a possibility. It's a
possibility, obviously.
I hope that that's not the case, but I think we need to be as Canadians very well informed of what the possibilities are because they're always trying to pull the rug out from under us all the time.
RichardRupp.ca.
Correct.
Please follow my OnlyFans. Thanks, Richard.
Thanks, Mike.